Almost there, almost ready. Hit record there, hit live over here, and we are good to go. Good morning, or good afternoon. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. Hey, I want to share something weird with you. I quit eating sugar probably about a year ago, and have been slowly reintroducing it back into my diet. Probably shouldn't do that, because as I was talking to my kids about things, you want to know what sugar does? Sugar creates sebum in your body. Sebum is a type of oil, and oil under your skin creates little right in between the old eyeball. So nothing like being embarrassed about acne when you're in your mid-30s. Anyways, well, later 30s now. Why don't we go ahead? I don't even have coffee. We're just going to pray. We're going to get into God's Word. Lord, we thank you so much for this day, and we thank you for your Word. We pray that you would please help us to understand it now. Lord, we pray that we would be blessed by you. Lord, that we would have hearts to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we go. Genesis chapter 43. Now the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass, when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, "Go back, buy us a little food." Remember the context. Jacob has already sent his brothers down to Egypt. They came face to face with Joseph, though they didn't know it was Joseph. Joseph said that they were spies. He bound up Simeon, told them to go back home, go get their brother Benjamin and come back. That way he would know that they're telling the truth. And, well, Jacob isn't going to let that happen. But Judah spoke to Jacob, saying, "The man solemnly warned us, saying, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.' If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.'" And Israel said, "Why did you deal so wrongfully with me, as to tell the man whether you had still another brother?" But they said, "The man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our family, saying, 'Is your father still alive? Have you another brother?' And we told him according to these words. Could we possibly have known that he would say, 'Bring your brother down'?" Then Judah said to Israel, his father, "Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you, and also our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. For my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned the second time." Judah says, "Can't go. Can't go unless you send Benjamin." And he says, "Why are you ever telling me I had a brother? What's wrong with you guys?" And he said, he asked us point blank, but I'm telling you, unlike Reuben, who said, "You could kill my first two sons," Judah steps up and he says, "My life for his life. My life for his dad. I'm going to protect him with my very life. If I come back without my brother, you could take my own life." He stands as surety for his brother, Benjamin. He says, "You got to send us fast, Dad. We're going to die. We're going to die. You're going to die. Your grandkids are going to die. We need to do this. It's dire." And their father Israel said to them, "If it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double money in your hand, and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take your brother also and arise. Go back to the man. And may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved." He says, "That's fine, okay, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you with the best of the delicacies we have. And boys, I'm entrusting you to God himself. And if I die, I die. If all my boys go, then all my sons die. If Benjamin is done, then I guess I'm undone. But I'm going to entrust you into the hands of the only one who is mighty enough to protect you, even greater than Pharaoh's second-hand man. So the men took that present and Benjamin, and they took double money in their hand and arose and went down to Egypt, and they stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Take these men to my house and slaughter an animal and make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon." Then the man did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now this is a change. Hey, somehow he's not treating harshly with them anymore. Now, all of a sudden, Joseph is inviting them into his own house, into a feast at his own table. Now, the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, "It is because of the money, which was returned in our sacks the first time, that we are brought in, so they can make a case against us and seize us and take us as slaves with our donkeys." I want to lean in here and notice what they say. "So they can make a case against us and seize us to make us slaves with our donkeys." I wonder if they catch the irony of the fear of their souls, as they had no pity upon their brother Joseph being sold to the Ishmaelites, to be sold as a slave. And now they're afraid of them and their donkeys being sold as slaves. When they drew near to the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him at the door of the house and said, "Oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food, but it happened when we came to the encampment that we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. So we have brought it back in our hand, and we have brought down other money in our hands to buy food. We do not know who put the money in our sacks." Instead of waiting to be charged with something, they just go right up front, right? "Hey, we found this money. We brought the money back. We even brought more money to buy more food. We were not guilty of this. We don't know how it got in our packs. We don't know how this happened. We want to make this right." Verse 23. "But he said," this is Joseph's servant, "Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." Then he brought Simeon out to them. So the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys feed. Then they made the present ready for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that they would eat bread there. So all of a sudden he says, "No, I got your money. You were paid in full. Don't worry about it." He brings out water for them. He shows them hospitality. Simeon is brought back, and it's like, what is going on here? And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed down before him to the earth. Remember Joseph's dreams. Then he asked them about their well-being and said, "Is your father well, the old man whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" You can imagine the anguish of Joseph's soul as he longs for his father. Can you trust him? Is his dad still alive? Will he ever see him face to face again? And they answered, "Your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive." And they bowed their heads down and prostrated them. Remember Joseph's second dream. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Now his heart yearned for his brothers. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and came out And he restrained himself and said, serve the bread. I can imagine what's going, can you imagine? I mean, I think about this as I'm reading the story. What is going through Joseph's heart and his soul as he's wrestling with his brothers who sold him into slavery, and yet he sees them, and this is years and years and years later. Joseph is married, he has two kids, he's the second in command, and he sees them, and there's still this bitterness possibly, but he yearns for his brother, he longs to just be reconciled to them. And he wants to make himself known to them. He weeps. So they set him a place by himself, and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked in astonishment at one another. Then he took servings to them from before him. But Benjamin's serving was five times as much as theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. They don't know what's going on. Right? Somehow there's all these brothers, and they're put in order. Each one of them in their place, oldest to youngest. Man, what a weird coincidence. How did that happen? And then in front of Benjamin, there's a double portion for the youngest one. This is setting up the story for what's going to happen tomorrow, but they have gone from thinking Joseph was going to accuse them of a case of stealing, to now they're enjoying a feast in the palace of the second in command. And they're just scratching their heads. What's going on here? So what's this about? Well, this is a picture of the difficulty of reconciliation, but also a picture of God's providence. Right? They're still one family. They still have one father. God is still protecting his promise, and bringing about his good ends. And so he's preserved Joseph. But this is a reality, right? I keep talking about this. I was just talking to somebody over lunch yesterday about this. If we're waiting for perfect people for the story of redemption, then we would never have a story of redemption. But God gives us real people with messed up lives and real hearts and really struggling with things. But yet God is still true, and God is still faithful. He had given Joseph two dreams, because the thing was surely to come, and God was going to accomplish his ends, even though it would come at great pain, because the greater good was going to come. It was going to happen. And so here's Joseph, seeing the fulfillment. And I can only imagine what's going on in his heart as he's putting things together. Is it at this point that he starts to remember? Does he remember his visions? Does he remember the dreams? God is faithful. Cling to that. Have faith. Trust in him. There are hard things going on in your life. Difficult things going on. Maybe some of you even listening are overseas and there's persecution in your life. He's bringing about the fulfillment of his promises. He's doing this so we would behold his glory. The golden thread of providence of him governing all of his creatures is going on. And so trust him. Trust the Almighty. He never gives up on his promises. He always keeps his covenant. Let's pray. Father, we confess to you that it's easy for us so often to say that we trust in you. But Father, we pray that we would cling to you and believe in you even in the face of trials and death, of hardships and betrayal. Lord, that we would know who you are and trust you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, may you continue to walk in hope as you cling to Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. May the great shepherd of the sheep give you peace. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon R.P. Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.